Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Imperfect Brilliance. I am Betsy McGosley, your hostess for this hour of yumminess. And I'm so grateful for you listening to, whether this is your first time or you've listened a lot of times, listening to the show. Om Times puts on just a wonderful variety of shows for you to listen to. And I'm very honored that you take time out of your day to listen to my show, Imperfect Brilliance. And this truly an honor. And I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you, because I truly do appreciate it. And today we're going to be talking about the power and the elegance of bodies, and what that is for you, and what that might mean in your life. When we start talking about bodies, there can be so many different points of views and energies and judgments and all of those things that we project at our bodies. And in wondering what we could actually create with them, and the power that they have, and the strength, and the resilience, and the elegance that bodies are and bodies be. It truly is, you know, we could talk about it for quite a long time. And that is what we were scheduled to talk about today with my guest, Kalpana. And I'm not sure if she's having technical difficulties or if she'll be on joining us shortly. So I'm just going to kind of jump in, and then if she can join us, we'll see where she was hoping to take us. And just a little bit about her. She is a dancer. She's a choreographer, a performer. She has a whole dance company. And I've seen some of the productions, and she's put out, she's got all kinds of things on YouTube, and watching her awareness and knowledge of producing and being a choreographer for a whole bunch of different people and their bodies and what they're capable of, I'm really looking forward to talking to her about this. So whether it's today or if she's not able to come on, well, it looks like she is calling in now, that we can talk about that and see where, you know, how this all came about for her. And so the elegance of bodies, and how much even have we been told that we're, you know, to be afraid of bodies, or our bodies can't do certain things. So just a little bit more information about Kalpana. She, like I said already, she is an internationally acclaimed performer. She's a dancer herself, a choreographer, a scholar, a dance mentor. And she's also, she travels the world creating change and consciousness through her art, through her dancing, and her facilitation. She's also an Access Consciousness certified facilitator. And she blends these capacities as an artist, as a facilitator, with her awareness, and what she has created, you know, is truly remarkable. And she, the name of her company, her dance company, is Kalpana Arts. She's the artistic director there. And if you'd like to find, you know, go take a look at what that, what she's created, her company website is kalpanaarts.com, which is www.kalpanaarts, kalpanaarts.com. And that is for her dance company. And so with, there's so many different places that we can go and things we could talk about with the dancing and with the elegance and the power of bodies. And as soon as she comes on live,
hey,
wonderful.
Hey.
Hi, Kalpana. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm sorry to be late. I had some unexpected stuff and I couldn't get online.
No worries. You know, it's all good. And I was just telling people about a little bit about you and your, what you've created that, you know, to me is so remarkable, and desiring to really talk about how even creating this dance company came around for you. And then, of course, you know, you can start wherever you'd like. But I did give people a little bit of background. The only thing is, I did not know how to pronounce your last name, so I wanted to wait for you to tell people how to say it correctly.
Oh, that's so sweet. My name, my surname is Raghuraman.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us about your perspective on the elegance and the power of bodies.
This topic really has been popping a lot for me with this whole coronavirus thing, which is kind of funny because this is where everybody's talking about the patheticness of the bodies and the feebleness and the impossibilities. But for me, it's actually shown me something that I function from a lot, like, you know, like you mentioned, I have a dance company. I work with incredible dancers who do incredible things with their bodies. And so I know about this power of bodies and elegance of bodies through that, you know, through that very experienced thing.
Yeah.
I know it from my own body because I have danced a lot. I dance much less now. I'm more into choreography, but I definitely have so much experienced and lived that myself. I just feel the more I have been allowing that exploration of the body to open up to me, the more I am finding power and elegance, even in places and moments where we think there is none. And
wow.
So that's really why this topic, when, you know, you were like, what should we talk about? I'm like, oh my God, the power and the elegance of bodies is really in my world. And I am curious to talk about it with you and all the, you know, all the people who are listening, and curious what that can open up for all of us, including our bodies.
Well, I love that. I love that question. And so you said, you know, looking at even the strength and the power and the possibility for you and your body, would you expand a little bit more on that and how you
Absolutely.
Explore that?
I mean, I would say mostly through my dance experience, I have seen how my body has been very resilient with a lot of things. So there's quite a lot of examples. But one that pops now is, for example, I have a solo that I had made on Frida Kahlo, the Mexican painter. And and in that solo, I hang kind of in a weird way in the air with my legs and my arms, and it's my neck is very strained. It's an interesting thing. And it's like kind of like she's lying on a bed, but then in the air. And I had made that piece, and then I hadn't performed it for really long. And then I was going to do it again. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't danced this for like years. And I was super curious, and my body just showed me. Like, my body was like, remember, this is what we used to tense, and this is how we used to hold it. And I was like, holy shit. It was super interesting to see how much my body could show me, instead of us usually thinking, I have to remember, I have to know it in my head. And then when I know it in my head, I can tell my body what to do. It was like completely the opposite. It was literally like I was in that thing, and my body was showing me how to manage and how to, you know, use my stomach muscles and my neck muscles and my back muscles. And it was like, whoa. And so it's also, you know, really speaks to, where we have learned that it has to go through our mind, like how much do we access our body through our minds, and thereby we don't access our bodies, you know. And this example is one where my body's like, you don't need your mind, I got this. And there's a lot of those. There was another moment that I had a dancer who had an injury, and it was very sudden, and we had a tour, and I was like, I was kind of the only one who could replace her at such short notice. And when you choreograph, you know the work, because the way you choreograph is actually the dancers are very much co-creators of the material, and then you change it a lot. There's a lot of versions and layers and changes. So by the end of it, you know it, but in a different way, less in a physical way, I would say, as choreographer. And suddenly I had to perform the piece, and I had like 2 days in between all my stuff that I had to watch it in my living room and, you know, remember. And I hadn't really danced a lot, you know, and I had definitely all these points of view about, oh my God, I'm not in shape and my stamina, and how am I going to suddenly dance this performance? And I was bowled over by how my body was like tapping into what it knows what to do, and basically did it without any problem. And I was like, where did this come from? And really speaks to the body's power, you know, and wisdom and tenacity. Yeah. And resilience.
Wow. You know, that's such magical examples that you're giving us. And I wonder, like, in all of this magic, you know, for you, dancing is easy. You know, it's something you've done probably most of your life, right?
Yeah.
Well, if somebody's listening and saying, well, that's, you know, that's great for Kalpana because she is a dancer, she's a choreographer, but I'm, you know, I've never really done that. What, how would you answer that?
Yeah, well, I would not even necessarily say that it was always easy for me, you know, because I have done all this stuff of, oh, I don't know how to do this, and my body's not doing what I wanted to do, and I know all the drill of judgment, you know. But these moments were moments where I was also already into access consciousness, so I had access to certain tools that allowed me to have more ease with it as well. And I would say, what if you could ask your body to show you, instead of what I was saying, we do it from, oh, look at the teacher, look at the video, do it this way, that way is wrong, which is what we've learned. Like, what if you would, like, actually, if you get, I know so many people who love to move, and they're like, I don't know how to dance. I'm like, of course, you know, it just, you know, it might not fit a certain thing, but you know how to move, and that's what it is. So what if you would allow yourself to have fun with it and ask your body to show you what it knows and what it likes and what it enjoys.
I love that. So asking your body what it enjoys and what it loves, he or she loves to do, you know, whatever gender you have in this lifetime. And with that, I was like, well, my body doesn't talk to me. Then how would you answer that one?
Well, so it doesn't necessarily, because it's not like it has a voice. Like, we see talking a lot as a very verbal thing, right? But what it's like, so, but then if you, it would even be like, okay, dance is so vast. Does it want to do ballet? Does it want to do hip hop? Does it want to do freestyle? Does it want to do, what is that called? Five elements or something? There's a thing called five. There's another thing that's very popular. There's Nia. Yes, exactly. And I mean, your body will light up. It will show you in a very nonverbal way. Mm-hmm. maybe your nipples will get hard, or you'll get goosebumps, or you'll just smile, or your breath will get more relaxed. Like, your body will show you, like, that one. And it's learning to trust that, because it's not something we've learned at all. We've mostly been discouraged from trusting that. But just, like, ask and look what your body is saying in that very nonverbal way, like it always does, but we just haven't learned to look at that and consider it. and you will get it, you know, and you might misunderstand it, and it's fine. It's really part of the whole exploration.
Yeah, I love hearing that too. And it is such a nonverbal communication, you know, with our bodies. And then really it's a muscle that you build, right? Just like you're dancing, or, you know, if you wanted to be an Olympic athlete, you know, the first day out, you're not running your triathlon from the start to the finish. And so it is all a muscle. And what kind of tools and questions would you like to share with the listeners about what they could start asking their body to increase their communication with their body?
I would say, like, anything that the thing is that we have kind of forgotten to include our body when it comes to things that is about our body. It's kind of like our parents choosing our hobbies for us. And you're like, well, the hobby's for me. Shouldn't I be choosing that one myself? <You know? laughs>
That's a good example.
Your mom is like, you love piano. You're like, I hate piano. No, you love piano.
That's a great example.
Thank you. So it's starting there. I think we're all going on a break.
Yes, and we'll be back shortly. Stay tuned for more with Katharina and Betsy today.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Are you looking to change anything in your life? To have an even greater appreciation of everything around you? Would you enjoy having a life of more joy and greater abundance? And explore what is possible for you? My name is Betsy McLaughlin, and I invite you to explore simple and pragmatic tools that I share on my radio show, Imperfect Brilliance. I know firsthand that you can change anything. We explore tools and questions with amazing guests, offering all kinds of conversations on living your best life. I invite you to listen in Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to Imperfect Brilliance. Consider a coaching call with me and let's explore what you would like your life to be like. Visit my website at www.creatingyumminess.com, and you're invited to call in to Imperfect Brilliance with your questions, Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. I look forward to connecting.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance. We're having a wonderful conversation today with Kalpana, and we're talking about the beauty, the elegance, the power, the potency, and more of our amazing bodies. So she was starting to share with us about some of the questions and tips of how you can create more communication and hear what your body is saying. And I loved your example right before break of, you know, not wanting to force into something that you don't really want to do. And was there anything else that you wanted to add there?
Yes, actually, I was going to say that, you know, when you were asking how can we actually start to include this presence and communication with our body to start to open that up as a daily thing, you know, we do a lot of things for our body where we don't involve our body, like, you know, the example of your mother choosing your hobby instead of you.
Right.
When you're going to get dressed, do you ask your body what it wants to wear, or do you decide what you think it should wear? So that's a very daily activity, but you can literally really start to play with the most simple things like, okay, what do you want to wear? Do you want to eat? And if that's kind of making you go, that sounds good. Okay, body, what do you want to eat? You can open the fridge and look at where your eyes are going to, or what is kind of, you know, making you excited. And it could be that you go into the kitchen and you don't find anything because you're not hungry, or there's nothing in the house that your body wants. And so it's really, I would say we get more connected by actually doing the very basic everyday things where we have not learned to include our body. And by doing that, we open ourselves up to becoming more and more present with all the aspects where our body is actually, let's say, the character, you know, the lead character of that situation. Mm-hmm. And that helps you then when you are starting to play more with questions like, hey, how do you want to move? Or, okay, I want to dance. What do you want? You know, so it becomes really part of that long, of that bigger context of like, hey, if you start to include your body with dancing, what about in the morning? And what about when you want to have a drink, or when you want to go for a walk, or maybe you want to go running? So everything becomes a moment of, hey, okay, body, what is it that you want? And not what have I decided you should do?
That right there, you know, what would you like to do instead of what you have decided to do?
Yeah.
And, right. That is such a, you know, it can sound simple. And yet, like, for me, I certainly have undone a lifetime of overriding my body and, you know, and now looking at all the different places where I just haven't listened. And if anyone else, And I'm so grateful for these conversations and the possibilities that, you know, at any time you can change it. It's not like, well, that's just the way I've always been, so that's the way I got to continue being. And, you know, how lucky are we that our bodies are so, and you talked about this a little earlier, they're so present with us and they're so malleable into something different. And in that co-creation, right, where let's say somebody's listening and they're 65 years old and they've never exercised a day in their life, and they decide tomorrow, right, that they would like to learn ballroom dancing.
Great.
It's not impossible, right? It is not impossible.
No, it is really not. And it's funny that you give this example, because I have an access consciousness workshop that I give that's called Joy of Movement. And I think 2 years ago, I gave it in Paris, and there was a man in the class who was about 68. And he said, you know, I wasn't allowed to move as a boy. I loved music. Mm-hmm. I loved moving. That was just something that my father especially forbade me to do. I have literally never danced. And in that class,
wow.
I said, I said to him, don't force yourself, you know, like, do we have exercises that we really get up and move? And I said, give yourself the space to go how you want to go. And the first exercise he didn't, and the second exercise he got up and he went for it, and there were just tears streaming down his cheeks and mine too, because it was just so touching to see him give that gift. And there was nothing, like you said, it's not impossible, it's the choice of doing it that is the whole thing. And it was such a touching experience, I'll never forget it. But it was like, wow, what? 68, you know? And
that's a beautiful, beautiful example. And you know, so at 68 years old, where he had been forbidden to do what he really desired to do, and then he finally gave himself the permission and the freedom to explore that must have been an absolutely gorgeous experience to be part of.
Oh gosh, it was like, where I was like, because sometimes, you know, what you were saying, like, okay, Kalpana, for her it's easy, but for others it might be like, well, good for her. It was where I was like, oh my god, I forgot how it's natural for me. So it's always been part of my life, and it's not for people. And that was one of those moments where I was like, oh God, I'm so grateful for that. Yeah.
Well, and I'm bringing in that gratitude piece to talking about our bodies. Where is there anywhere that you've really exercised that gratitude muscle in your own life that you could share with us?
Did you say where? Oh gosh. I think different, a lot of ways. I mean, I think with the bodies we have, a tendency to kind of not do it, right? Like, oh, it should be more like this, and my body should do more of that. And there's a bigger tendency to complain than to be grateful. I have, I would say I'm kind of a grateful person. It sounds really stupid, but I can really be grateful for the smallest things. My husband is always laughing at me. He's like, you're weird. I'll be like, oh, God, I love the eggs I made. It's so good. And I'll be like super excited about it. So that's been something that has always kind of been how I be. So the smallest things can totally rub me up and get me all happy and, you know, jump.
I love it.
So it's kind of like, I'm literally like, yeah, so I'm a bit difficult to put words to this question, but I think what I did notice, what I would love to share, is that I became more grateful since the pandemic. I noticed that I had a lot of gratitude for my life and all the things that I had not really acknowledged or considered or realized about my life, including my body, for sure, including my body. So I noticed, you know, here in Europe, I live in Europe, when the lockdown in Belgium, the lockdown started middle of March. And I remember I was just like, well, gosh, you know, I have internet, I have food, I have a warm house, a lovely bed, I have a beautiful, lovely body. I don't have, you know, there are people who have much worse and much longer than I have to do, you know? So I realized things that I had kind of taken for granted, and it really showed me like, oh gosh, there's so much to be grateful for. So I have really been, in a way, working that gratitude muscle a lot over these past months since we're in this coronavirus pandemic situation, and really been appreciating, my body a lot, I would say, and bodies in general more than ever. You know, we're not allowed to touch each other and all that blah blah, you know, stuff, and and you know, we have to say keep a distance and all that. And for me, I'm more like, oh my god, no, like right now you want to put you, it's exactly the touch and the presence of bodies that is such a healer and such a contribution.
That is so true. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, what you just said. Like right now, we're how many months into pretty well for many parts of the world. You're not allowed to see people, or, and you know, not allowed to touch. And our bodies enjoy touch so much. So if somebody doesn't have people around them that they, you know, can have a hug from, or
have, you know, hold somebody's hand or have a kiss on the cheek. Like, what could they be doing for their, or they do, but they just don't have very much of it. What would you suggest, right, that we could do to nurture our bodies during this time where we're kind of all starved for some touch?
Yeah, I love the question. I actually was in that lockdown without my husband because he left like for Africa where he's from, where we are building a theater. And he was like, all my projects got canceled and I have so much work there. Should I go there or should I stay? And I was like, I was looking forward to Netflix with you, but I think you should go. Weird. So he left and I was, his daughter who is, you know, into her 20s was there with me, but she's not a huggy touchy person, you know. So I was kind of doing 14 weeks without him. And I found myself a great friend for my body in nature. I found myself suddenly, we were not allowed to drive here. We were not, we were only allowed to walk or take the bicycle. And I went biking, in March, April, till June, we were not allowed. You needed permission here. You needed a proof of why you were moving your car, basically. So I grabbed my bicycle and I was, and I'm not a big bikey person at all, you know, but I found my way and I got so much joy from that. And I went to beautiful, you know, I went to the forest, I went to a park, and I really found that that energy really nourished my body. Just sitting there, you know, enjoying the water or enjoying the trees, that became the space for me where that touch that I was missing, and that the softness, right, and the caring of another body and the touch was really gifted by nature. Yeah, and you know,
beautiful.
Thank you, Betsy. And it depends where you live. You might live in a place where you're like, that's far away. And even there, there's always nooks and crannies where they have like, you know, something. Like where I live, I live in the city and there's green, but it's not like outside my door. But there's a really random park here. And the other day I was biking and it was suddenly really summery and warm, and which is unusual because it's getting really cold here. And I just jumped off my bike and I just took off my shoes and my socks and I went and did some earthing. I was like, oh, let me grab some of this yummy earth energy into my body while, and the sun is shining. And I stood there and I was like, and the kids were walking around going, okay. So I was like, I don't care. And my body was so happy. And it just, all you need is a patch of green. You know what I mean? And I was like, going for it. So you can, I'm sure wherever you live, you can find that and see what that does to you. It definitely is something that energizes me, that soothes me, that relaxes the body, and actually also really contributes to any inflammation or any discomfort in your body. Putting your feet on the earth, like the most simple thing actually, can really take care of a lot of things and really, really soothe you and nurture you.
And do you go barefoot?
Yes. Yeah. So in this case, I was on my bike and I was actually getting some groceries and stuff. And then I saw this place because I went another route and I was like, oh, it looks so nice. And the sun is shining. And so I just took off my socks and stood there. So you can do that. Yeah. I did that very quickly.
A friend of mine sent me a picture where she was walking barefoot. You know, she had her communion with the earth, you know, barefoot. And it is such, you know, you might think that it's just something so simple, but it reminds me of my my sweet dog, who's no longer with us in his body, but he was such a beautiful reminder for us of when you're, you know, when you take him outside and he would be so present with nature and, you know, just, and it would remind me to stop and take a minute and take a deep breath and be with nature. So thank you so much for the reminder for all of us that it really can be that simple of getting yourself, you know, kind of back to really what does nurture you, and it can be as simple as a patch of grass.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. But those are things that I really, I would say, have discovered more over these past months, because, you know, everything is different. And like you said, with all that, this missing of touch and presence of bodies, your body, like, you know, is resilient. It goes, looks for it.
And, you know, and the resiliency. So, you know, one of the things in the write-up for the conversation we were having today, you talked about the power of bodies. So let's talk about that piece, the resilience and the power of bodies.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the power of the bodies is where, like, you know, the, for me, the power of the body is very much the wisdom of it. Like, it knowing what it knows, what it shows you, you know, like what I was explaining with the dance, that it in a way, let's say, remembered stuff that my head didn't. And the power is also, you know, I have to, you know, I cannot resist but talk about the virus. It's like where we are given this idea that our body is weak and this virus is attacking us. And it's like, no, our body is powerful. And it's not weak. It's actually so strong, but we have not really allowed it to be, because we're like, oh, no, you need this amount of sleep. You need these kind of food things. You need all these things. And it's all from this energy of, like, if you don't give that, your body will, like, you know, not make it. And I have really seen that. I facilitate a lot with bodies in access workshops, and I just, like, the body is so strong and powerful, and a virus is not out there to get and attack us. It's there to give us something, and our body adjusts and changes with it. And we're constantly changing, and our body is made for that. It's made for change. So I really have a very strong, for me, it's something like, wow, guys, our bodies are so strong and they're so powerful. What would it take for us to know that and not to buy into this fear thing about bodies, you know?
It's so true. Excuse me. Our bodies really are strong and resilient. And I'm so sorry. I just took a sip of water that went down the wrong way. And so it's with that. And I know we're coming up on our second break, and maybe I'll save this question, or I'll say it now so I don't forget. But let's talk a little bit more about what we can do to nurture and foster more power and strength and resilience when we come back. Stay tuned, guys.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The power, the potency, the elegance, the resilience, the beauty of bodies is part of what we're talking about today. I'm Betsy McLaughlin, and I'm here with Kalpana, and we are just having a wonderful time, and we hope that you are as well. And before we let Kalpana give us more of her beautiful, beautiful words, would you mind telling everybody how they can find you if they would like to check out both your, and I did talk about this at the beginning, but in case somebody just is hopping on just now, about, you know, your dance website as well as your other website.
Yes. So my Access Consciousness business website is my full name, kalpanaraghuraman.com. And my dance company website is kalpanarts.com with one A. So Kalpana and then RTS.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. And you can find that information as well on the Om Times Radio, the archives, which will have all of the information as well as, you know, if you'd like to give somebody a replay, you know, tell them that, about this conversation. It will be in, it lives in the archive, so you can listen to it at a later date as well.
Thank
you. So you've got a couple minutes to think about how to answer my question. So what pearls of wisdom do you have for us?
Well, I was going to say you were asking what ways people could nourish their bodies, am I right, and make them stronger?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I would actually say one of the things that I have noticed is that helps us make our body stronger are also, again, simple, small things. One of them is, you know, when you get up, a lot of times you get up and it's like, oh, I don't need to get up yet because my alarm is only in an hour or in an hour and a half. And actually that getting up is showing you that your body's ready to get up and move. So I have seen that my body gets stronger when I do that, and I get a bit more, let's say, slouchy or slower when I don't, and I stay in bed because I've decided that I only need to get up in another hour. Does this make sense?
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I have actually seen, because it's like your body is like, let's go. And then you're like, no, be quiet. You know, slow down and turn off the volume and lie down and, you know. And I have seen that my body actually has much more energy when I allow that to be a bit more dominating factor than my, you know, alarm time decision. So it's a simple one, but it's something that I've really noticed. And also, yeah. So see, you know, it doesn't might for you not be, but have a look and play with it and see what that.
Yeah,
tells you.
I will for sure.
Yeah. Cool.
And what else? What else?
I would say actually really, especially now, many of us are much more behind our computers than ever before because of all the social distancing and not working from in a workplace. So take a break, you know, take a break. And I've seen that makes my body stronger too. When I just take a break and I go for, I'm not a runner, but I go for a walk or even sit outside on my balcony and allow my body to have fresh air. So even if the winter days are coming, getting that fresh air really energizes your body. You know, the oxygen, all that gets much more flowing and your body can get activated and be energized. So that's something that I have noticed helps a lot. So that would be number two. And then another thing, making your body stronger for me is also actually being nice to my body and not judging my body. Like the nicer I am and kinder I am to my body, the more powerful I allow it to be. But when I am, you know, cursing at it because it's like, you know, put on weight or it's getting gray hair, it's actually diminishing its strength. So being kind to your body for me is a big source of strengthening and fortifying the body.
I love that. And so you work with professional dancers. So you are used to kind of that where they're going to have a lot of strength and stamina and flexibility and all of the things that you kind of associate with a dancer, you know? Right. So that's what you're used to. And with somebody who, let's say, has been working in an office for 40 years and they don't have that, you know, there's still absolutely the possibility for them to create anything that they would like to with their body. So I would like to have you talk a little bit more about that, please.
Yes, I would say that obviously it's like what you said, it's, you know, a dancer's kind of job is about making their body strong and flexible. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that they have invested years in figuring it out in a way to do. And if you're not into that, it's like, how do you, that's why actually I would say I started with the simple, small things. I would also look at, so what ways can you do that? It's like, get started somewhere, like allow your body to move. Like we make our body a very sedentary thing. Well, it's not, you know, designed to be at all. And for some people, you know, because it, you know, you're not only powerful with your body because you're a dancer, it's your willingness to have all the capacities of your body being available. So doing exercises, not exercise to lose weight, but exercise as a caring for your body is a whole different way to move, right? Like how many of us go to the sports gym school because, oh, I have to lose weight, which is not coming from my body feels like moving. Oh, apparently it wants to run, or, oh, it wants to do like push-ups, or like wants to do weights. So if you look at, hey, I want to strengthen my body and what movement or what activity does my body want to do, you're coming in from a very different angle than the, let's call it the judgmental angle, where you've got to fix something and that's why you're moving, you know? And so making your body powerful is a possibility that everybody has, because we all have a powerful body. Certain people have just chosen to make it more of their dedication in their life than others, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I would say, look for what works for you. It can be yoga, it can be Pilates, but it might be running, it might be rowing. I'm going to go back to that first thing of ask your body to show you what activity it would like to do to strengthen it. And, you know, the connecting to the earth for me has also shown me that that makes my body more powerful, because it allows it to, as you pointed out, reconnect with the earth and receive from the earth. So our body's power comes from, I would say, its engagement with the environment, with nature, as well as its own engagement by being physically active.
And that, you know, and then the whole piece of what you just talked about, where you can start wherever you are and go from there, and there's just such a beauty in what you've talked about. And I would like to also have you talk about when you are projecting something at your body and then what that can do to your body.
Yeah, that's basically where your body is very obedient and it basically responds to your projection. So if you say, oh my God, you always do this when I eat a piece of cake, then it's going to always do that when you eat a piece of cake. So our bodies are extremely serving, you know, they serve us. And so when we project stuff at it, it literally gives us that, because that's what we've ordered. It's literally as simple as that. So becoming present with what you're saying to yourself when you wake up or look in the mirror, you know, especially I think women, as soon as we see a mirror or a reflection of us, we must look for what's wrong.
Right.
And it's like, what if you actually go in with a whole different way and become present? And if you're judging, don't judge yourself for judging, but go, oh, oops, sorry, buddy. That was my automatic pilot. You know, I've been doing this for a lot of years, but let's try again. And, you know, just become present and become softer and kinder with your body, because the projections are not going to bring you anywhere. But also the projection of I must lose weight is a conclusion that you're throwing at your body, and your body is like, okay, thanks for having a conversation about it with me. You know, it's such a rude thing we do to our body that way, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm sorry. It's so true, though. It is very rude. We can be so bossy, right?
Yes!
Bossy, bossy, bossy.
Totally. Exactly.
When you find yourself being bossy, 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 what could you do to change that?
Stop. Like, actually, literally. Kind of like you're driving and you're driving into the, you know, into a one-way street and you have to go back because otherwise you're going to, you know, have to stop driving because it's a dead end. A road with a dead end is what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're entering a dead end when you do that. So just stop. And then the stopping from, oh, oops, there we go. Okay, now let's do something different. Okay, delete, control, delete. Let's start again. And And I would say that lightness, because we get also a bit crazy with, oh no, I did it wrong again, you know, and then you're again back into judgment land. So just stop. If you're doing it, if you're doing that rude thing that we've learned to do, just stop and be like, okay, sorry, let's start again, you know? So it's really that willingness to just stop and make a new choice. And you will be a bit, you know, surprised at moments at how many times you need to stop, but it's okay. Fine.
Yeah.
It gives us the choice to choose again. Yeah.
Great answers. Thank you so much. And it's, you know, looking at, would you treat your best friend?
Yeah.
Like,
awesome.
You know, the way that a lot of times we treat our own body. And so what if we actually were willing to change what we're saying, being, and doing for our bodies? And then what does that, what does that create in the world? And everything that Kalpana has so beautifully described today, with the elegance and the poise and the strength that our bodies have. So how can we co-create that to even create beyond anything that we have created so far for our bodies?
Yeah, totally. Love that question. Beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Betsy. I love this conversation.
Me too. And so as we wrap up our time together today, do you have some questions that you like to ask your body that you could share with us?
Gosh, I would say I shared quite a bit, like what I use myself with the eating and the food, the movement. And also, what else could I add? Let me look. Well, actually also the question of, hey, body, what do you require right now? And a lot of times we think that's food and it can be something completely different. And body, what do you know? So that it can show you what it knows. That, you know, it's kind of like when people say, you didn't tell me. And it's like, yeah, but you didn't ask me. You know, that one. So maybe we should start, exactly. Maybe we should start asking a bit more.
You know, that love example, that's awesome. Like, oh,
you know,
you didn't,
yeah. Yeah.
You didn't need to ask me.
Yeah.
That is a great example. And, you know, like, anywhere that we're expecting our bodies to just be total mind readers, but then we're not listening or paying any bit of attention.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hello. Hello.
Sorry about that. My phone dropped on me.
Oh, I thought it was me. All good. I'm here.
No. Yeah. And so it's really like, where could we not be such control freaks and actually create a communionship, a creationship, a partnership with our bodies and really explore from that place.
Exactly. Totally beautifully said. Yeah. Totally.
Oh, thank,
very
thank
exciting.
You.
Thank you. What
thank
a wonderful
you so much,
Kalpana. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
I'm really so grateful. And you guys check out, and you have some things even on YouTube that people could check out, right?
I have plenty of stuff. Yes, I have my YouTube channel has a lot of stuff. So if you put in my name, you'll find a bunch of things.
And can you spell your last name for everybody real quick?
Absolutely. RAGHURAMAN.
Wonderful. And so do you have any of yourself dancing, or is it of your dance
both.
Company or okay?
You'll find it all. Actually, if you YouTube my name, you would find both. You will find my own self from a while ago, but you will also find stuff from my company. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
You can go check it out.
And do you all kinds of different styles of dance, right?
Well, I have Indian dance as a base, and then I mix it with all kinds of different forms. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, check it out, you guys. And thank you so much for being with us, Kalpana. Thank you
Thanks
for listening.
For having me. Thank
All right,
you so
sweetheart.
Much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Big virtual hug.
Bye.